Chapter 28. Foggy couldn't help watching Matt closely after that morning at Fogwell's. Every time he left the house alone, Foggy wondered about him. But if the lack of bruises and fresh marks was any indication, Matt wasn't getting into any fights, or if he was, he was damn near untouchable. But as June faded into July and the heat of summer set in, he almost forgot to worry about Matt with the pleasure and enjoyment he got from his frequent company. He and Matt spent many lazy hours lounging on the patio, sipping drinks, listening to music or audiobooks together, and discussing the merits of each band or book when they weren't talking about exam results, Foggy surprising and delighting himself with how well he'd done. He spent many hours poring over the list of available subjects for enrollment next semester, frequently asking Matt for his input and advice. The electives list was long, and there were so many options that Foggy was a little flummoxed at first, despite having studied at Columbia for a year now. After over a week of debating the potential of each area of study, he had it narrowed down to his top six, as did Matt. But if there was one subject Foggy wanted to enroll in and knew he would excel at, it was legal history. He was a complete dork about it, unapologetically so. He'd already started scouring university forums and notice boards for secondhand textbooks so he could get a head start. Matt didn't share his fascination with history and was planning to enroll in succession law instead, which covered wills and estates and feuding families, something Foggy wasn't keen on learning more about. One thing he was thankful for at the moment was that despite being in the same neighborhood as his parents and the family business, so far the Nelsons had all given Matt and himself space, Theo included. Uncle Timmy and Aunt Jeannie checked in semi-regularly. Once a week, Foggy received an email from them, containing a few lines describing interesting things they'd seen, or whether or not they'd recommend the hotel restaurant, and a lot of blurry pictures that he did his best to describe for Matt. The most recent email contained photographs from his aunt and uncle's stay on the Isle of Man. The pictures were mostly of castles and museums, but there were also some pretty cute shots of horses, and one that Foggy thought might have been a lighthouse taken from far away and with someone's finger partially covering the camera lens, so it was hard to be sure. Regardless of the picture quality, his aunt and uncle seemed to be having a good time. Foggy was too. Looking after his aunt and uncle's house was the easiest task in the world, in large part because of who he shared that task with, but also because Matt was a more conscientious house guest than Foggy was. He was kind of slack in that regard, and figured he'd worry about cleaning the house properly the weekend before his aunt and uncle came back, and that wouldn't be until August. He could tolerate a state of general untidiness for a long time. Matt couldn't. He spent some time every day cleaning and tidying the house, maintaining it in a devoted way that made Foggy feel ashamed. He pitched in occasionally, usually when Matt started cleaning and the guilt set in. Today, for example, Matt couldn't let a perfectly nice Friday morning pass without cleaning the bathroom, and Foggy could only lean against the doorframe watching him for so long before he started feeling like a bad host and decided to do something useful. He settled on wiping down the counters and cleaning the shower drain, since Matt already had the job of mopping the floor well in hand. He was filling the bucket at the sink, the bottle of floor cleaner ready and waiting to be used. Foggy left him to it and focused his attention on the shower. He was deep in his thoughts about returning to law school in September when a low groan of pain made him whip his head around. Foggy watched Matt stumble back from the sink and drop to his knees, his eyes squeezed shut tight. Foggy knew almost immediately what had happened. Some of the floor cleaner from the bucket Matt was filling had splashed back into his eyes. He hurried over to him, but Matt held him off with one arm, another low groan escaping his lips. He seemed unable or unwilling to open his eyes, and Foggy's concern only deepened. "Matt, are you okay?" he asked urgently, taking the bottle of floor cleaner from him and screwing the cap back on. Too late, the damage was clearly done. "I'm fine, I just got something in my eyes," Matt muttered, squeezing one eyelid open with a groan. "Let me see it," Foggy insisted, setting the floor cleaner aside and reaching for Matt instead. I said I'm fine, Matt declared stubbornly. There was a little bite in his tone, enough that Foggy hesitated. Matt's lips were pressed into a hard line that Foggy knew meant two things. One, Matt was in pain, and two, Matt wasn't going to admit it. Foggy seized the bottle of floor cleaner, skimming the ingredients list. He frowned when he read sodium dodecyl benzene sulfonate, alcohols, C10-12, ethoxylated sodium lauryl sulfate, and citric acid. He didn't know what all that chemical talk meant, but he knew that acid of any kind was bad news, especially in the eyes. Come on, Foggy insisted, hauling Matt to his feet and pulling him back over to the sink. The hot water was still running and Foggy turned it off. He picked up the bucket Matt had been filling and set it on the floor, rinsing the sink just in case there was any chemical residue, before he ran a stream of cold water over Matt's eyes, trying to be as gentle and thorough as he could. Matt made several low sounds of discomfort, but let him help. How bad is it? He asked after some 10 minutes, when Foggy judged that the water had done as much as it could. Well, your eyes are pretty red. I think we should go to the emergency room, Foggy admitted, looking at Matt anxiously as his roommate dabbed his face with a fresh towel. It's hardly an emergency, Matt commented mildly. Had Foggy not been able to see Matt's slightly puffy eyelids and his reddened eyes, reddened to the point where the whites of Matt's eyes were not so much white as angry inflamed red, he would have been inclined to take him at his word and believe that Matt was fine. His calm demeanor gave nothing away. Matt, Foggy said cautiously, knowing from the sudden tightening of Matt's lips that he should brace himself for an argument. It's not like, Matt started, but Foggy swiftly cut him off. Don't you dare say it, he groaned, knowing from Matt's little smirk that he was going to say it anyway. Matt was going to make light of it. He was going to make some joke about being blind because that was what he did when Foggy was worried about him. Humor was a defense for Matt. It was at least as effective as charm, if not more so, because it was impossible not to enjoy Matt's sense of humor, which, while a little sarcastic, had been well honed over the years and was one of his most attractive qualities. Oh, I can't see, Matt muttered sarcastically, as Foggy had known that he would. You are such a little shit, Mr. Murdoch, Foggy declared, shaking his head and trying not to smile. I'm fine, Fog. It's not the worst thing that's ever happened to me, I promise, Matt added in a more serious tone. Foggy just looked at him. He didn't doubt that it was true. That was the sad part. Worse things had happened to Matt than a painful chemical splash in the eyes twice over. That didn't mean it didn't suck for him to experience that. In fact, he was being remarkably cool about it, considering it probably reminded him a hell of a lot of the first time, when he'd lost his vision as a result of those chemical burns. You're allowed to say that it sucks sometimes, you know, Foggy said quietly. And become a bitter old man complaining about it all the time? Matt replied doubtfully. No, thank you. How about you wait till you're 50 before you start calling yourself old? And even then, you'll probably be one of those distinguished guys that looks even hotter the older they get. It's unfair, Foggy declared with a sigh. And unlikely, Matt commented with some amusement. But seriously, I think complaining just encourages people, Foggy. Foggy frowned at him. How very Catholic of him, he couldn't help thinking. Matt Murdoch didn't grumble or complain. He bore it all bravely and patiently, like the kind of saint Foggy would never be. He envied his composure at times. It seemed to come to Matt so naturally, while Foggy just fumbled his way through stressful situations in a blur of panic. Do you know how many strangers come up to me and tell me what an inspiration I am and how great it is that I'm out and about? Matt asked, completely throwing Foggy and distracting him quite effectively from his internal thought processes. I didn't know they did, Foggy mumbled, his frown, if it were possible, deepening. They do. They tell me I'm amazing, Matt admitted, his lips twisting into a sarcastic mockery of a smile. You are a little bit, Foggy said quietly, not looking at Matt as he said it. Matt had his issues. He knew that he did, but he couldn't help adoring and admiring him nonetheless. The fact that it seemed to annoy Matt to be loved and admired just meant that Foggy had to keep those particular thoughts about how wonderful Matt was to himself more often than not. By no means an easy task. It makes me uncomfortable when people do that, Matt admitted. It was at that point that Foggy really started paying attention, because if there was one thing Matt struggled with, it was admitting when people made him uncomfortable. Why? He couldn't help asking. Matt shook his head slightly, worrying at his lower lip for several moments. He looked tense and uncertain, but Foggy knew if he pushed him for an answer, Matt would push him too. He'd push him away, and they wouldn't talk about this again for a long time. Patience was the first requirement when it came to Matt. It had taken several misunderstandings for him to realize that. Matt projected confidence and charm so effectively that most people didn't realize how closely he guarded his deeper thoughts and emotions. People always seem to think that it's one of the worst things that could ever happen to you, being blind, like your life is over or something, Matt said so softly and so bitterly that Foggy felt his breath catch. It's hard, but you do get on with your life eventually, even if it's a different kind of life. Being blind doesn't stop you from living. I never said that it did, Foggy muttered, his tone cautious. He'd never seen Matt in this mood before, all dark and cynical, and he wasn't sure if he liked this frankness or not. I'm telling you so that you know, Matt said quietly, a little warmth creeping into his tone. I'm not some inspirational story. I don't want pity. And if you're with me and someone starts telling me how incredible they think I am, tell them to stop? Foggy muttered doubtfully, struggling to imagine that happening. Please, Matt requested so softly that Foggy immediately resolved to do as he asked if it ever came up. He looked at him for a long moment, and he didn't tell him that he was amazing. Matt made that easier by wincing and squeezing his eyes shut, obviously experiencing pain or discomfort and refusing to say so. In fact, if there was one thing Foggy was sure of where Matt was concerned that struck him as amazing, it was Matt's stubbornness, which was truly incredible, and which Foggy chose to overrule at that moment. Right, he said, coming to a decision. I'm going to run down the street and grab the car keys off Theo, and then I'm taking you to the emergency room. It's nothing, Matt declared, persisting in his stubbornness. Please, for me? Foggy pleaded, utilizing puppy eyes on principle despite knowing the effect was lost on Matt. Just to be on the safe side? If you insist, Matt reluctantly agreed. I do, Foggy replied, rewarding Matt for being reasonable with a gentle forehead kiss. He smiled to himself at the knowledge that Matt would let himself be taken care of. And if it was nothing, Matt would say, I told you so, and Foggy would pretend to be annoyed about it. But that was just what you did when you loved someone and couldn't tell them a third time without hearing it back. You made sure they were okay, no matter how stubborn they were being about it. End chapter 28.